My name is Damon Thomas, and I'd like to welcome you to There Is a Life After Life. Poetry and prose on the radio, good words to start the week. Let's get started with Nicole Zwolinski, Everything is Art. Ted Jackins, I Was Put Here to Unlock God. Finn Rose Aberisk, Angels Can Drive Now. Kelsey Melton, Earthquake. And Chantel Powell, Wrestling's Object Lesson.
Everything is art. Some days you can smell the salt spilling inland, breathing humidity like drinking water, sips thick and delicious. I remember the years with winters so cold, stepping out the front door meant you would be slapped with frosty air that would shatter your snot and coat your nostrils in ice and freeze your lungs. Agates to coquina, pines to palms, from snow to a suffocating heat that melts you drip by drip. There is a magic in the silence that a fresh snow falls silently, muffles. There is magic in rooting bare feet in the sand under the shells and sharp shark teeth, and witnessing the weight of night being lifted by sunshine bursting from the ocean. When you realize everything is art, it's magical.
This is called I Was Put Here to Unlock God. The girl with the saddest eyes you've ever seen will hug you the day you leave, tell you she loves you. Those same eyes already shrink-wrapped with tears. She'll say, I'll probably be here forever.
Angels Can Drive by Finn Rose Aberisk. I heard God in the parking lot. An angel was surging down the concrete in the garage. I peered around the banisters to try and get a glimpse. The choir singing was growing louder and louder, and I thought I was about to have an epiphany and find a light anew. Alas, when I turned the corner in the parking garage, the only thing I saw was an electric car humming away. Perhaps angels can drive now.
This is my poem, Earthquake. This time, it started in the back of the house, shifting creaks and uneven pops, rolling like marbles down our hallway. Subtle, but nonetheless unmistakable. I take a quick inventory of every crack I hear of where things might start to fall apart. As the earthquake quivers every inch, I race to protect our valuables, only to realize we are not prepared for disaster. Worlds are altered rather than destroyed, Democritus said. You remember as you sign the divorce papers. Poem.
Wrestling's Object Lesson by Chantel Powell. The eighth wonder of the world, built like a kegger in baggy gray pants with big pockets and brown leather belt, a curly black mane and long coiled beard draped barn door chest and woolly mantle. The Cuban assassin don't spend time sassin'. It's down to business in the ring. Big Steven Pettipaw is balding, but there's hair enough for fat fingers, claw and tangle grip, a sleight of hands. Big Steven slams face first to the mat. A world wonder once said, when we street fight in Cuba, we fight to the finish. While referee and reverie, assassin reaches into pocket, pulls out an object! Snapped in the small of the back, Big Steven is fallen timber. Assassin pockets object. If the ref don't see it, there be harm but no foul. Fates frown on Cuba, an announcer is disgusted. Disgusted by a shot both cheap and priceless. Eighth wonder of the world is hung out to dry on Big Steven's clothesline.
We'll keep things going with a musical interlude. Edgar Garcia and Zarabanda Variations, Monday to Friday, January 11. And Lex Myron, Hooker Love Story.
Thank you. sermon, someone stands up, some message that is all benefit from death. Trust fund of 1492-93 set up here on this beach. From east coast to west, 18 leagues to go now with the news. The devil did not evade, did not kill, but coaxed instead into the mass of maize husks to make him dance it. To blind him, to pummel, skull, but not kill, to hoodwink, devil, lively, lithe, in green reeds glow. He poked us toward the north, tilted us sideways as the Arctic sun, in purple sky like
what kind of this?
We'll pick a graphic throne, prisoners.
Without words to write, without earth to turn to.
Sag, melting like ice.
Silhouette was seen by who seemed to be Jesus before her knees. He gave the lines for her to walk all night. They spent minutes forgetting limits, living as rapid images. The wall sparkled from the fit they shared. Jesus gave her guidelines to walk with at night. Jesus gave her guidelines to feel all right. Jesus gave her guidance after every night. Light in the head, laying in bed with echoing hands, twitching in misery, green streaks on the ceiling. She's a lost soul he left in a home. Failing to be there was tripped off time. Cried in that motel when she couldn't find him at her side. Every time the flame flickered above the vase, it seemed to say, "There's no lantern to see you out. There's no lantern to see you out. There's no lantern to see you out."
She's a lost soul left in a home.
There's no lantern to see you out.
She's a lost soul left in a home.
She.
Light in the head, laying in bed with echoing hands.
She's a lost soul he left in a home.
There's no land to see you out.
She's a lost soul he left in a home.
This is a memento mori. Death meant little. Here, on There Is a Life After Life. Death meant little when young. I largely saw it all as symbolic. Lovecraftian horrors as reassurance. That is not dead, which can eternal lie. My dog Spotty was hit by a car. A friend was murdered by his father. A friend died screaming as a volunteer fire department helplessly watched his home burn. None of it seemed real. None of it seemed final. There were ideas of angels. All just went up there. Despite conflicting with all I had heard in Southern Baptist sermons, this was my solace. Senior year of high school, my mom checked me out of school. My grandpa was in a Tennessee hospital. With the limited time I had to explain, I promised to bring my friends back, coonskin caps. Knoxville was 8 hours north. We arrived on a cold November night. A blue line guided us to my grandpa's hospital room. Entering, we were greeted with, "You're looking at a dead man." What was thought to be a bad case of the flu was stage 4, pancreatic cancer. Only weeks after 64th birthday, he was given just weeks to live. I had spent much of the previous summer at his Etowah, Tennessee home. Days started early with biscuits and gravy. He played his 1962 Martin acoustic with the house bluegrass band at the Inglewood Coliseum. He asked to speak to each of us alone. My mom and brother waited in the hall as I sat on the edge of his bed. He told me to keep reading, since there was a lot to learn. Said he wanted me to have his guitar. I never heard what he told the others. We never discussed it. My grandpa's new wife refused to honor his wishes. The guitar and all his old photos were staying with her. They were his, and he was hers. The Knoxville Mall had no coonskin caps for sale. No one seemed surprised as I asked for them, though. I returned to Florida with no gifts or updates. My grandpa died a few weeks later. A friend asked how he was, and I could only reply, "He died." She seemed hurt that I had not shared this earlier. This was not meant to be an insult. I just did not have the words I needed. Young men in rural places could be angry, but not much else. And I wasn't angry. I was realizing all were just gone. Friends and pets gone, just like my grandpa. It was indescribably sad. And now, a sci-fi epic, Ruby Mara, Space Cadet. One day the sun will explode and leave us in the dark and cold.
100 trillion years ago, the sun's supernova swallowed Earth in flames, and humans scattered across the universe. I was born on Imar, orbiting Algol, the unluckiest star in the sky. My star, ancient Earthlings referred to her as the Gorgon of Perseus. A monument to Hero, conquering Monster's Head. But the stake he claimed didn't take Snake's interlinked demon star Medusa winked a cult warning that all will turn to stone. The universe, once brilliantly bespeckled, boasts little light left. We've launched parties searching for the swan song son of Space Cadet reporting in. Come in, Proxima B, do you read? The planet's abandoned. Confirm. Visual of Proxima Centauri.
Thermal readings. Low.
This data, it's just as we feared. It appears it's worse than we thought. The dwarf is dimming. Imminent demise. I close my eyes. Try to imagine life without her. I am isolated in the vacuum of space. Not even as if in the middle of the ocean. With the waves bouncing my body. Wind slicing like a scythe, moon beaming at me, air to carry my screams. No, nothing. It's empty, preemptive, the ennui of entropy, the ironically quiet come claim of chaos. Far off, I can feel her thinking. Everyone is depending on me to be that bright light, everlasting. But how can I be when I can't burn and feed when I can't breathe?
Oxygen. Low.
Cables hopelessly tangled.
A statistical inevitability.
There is only one position where they neatly keep to themselves and infinitely many more instances of entanglement. I cough up some flimsy flight of fancies I'd forgotten. The sift of shifting sands at sunrise, nothing like brine to bite in the morning. I would pour it through my hand as if I were the hourglass, as if I had any say how much time might pass. The sight of light bugs emerging in a flicker at sunset. I always wondered, is this what the constellations look like? My star, the demon star, Algol El Ghul, the winking eye of Medusa blinked, a beacon nigh eternal, signaling the end of days, and we fled futilely like flies flickering at dusk. Space Cadet signing off. All of a sudden, it's shining so bright and warm, like my star. Oh, my star shining so bright. It hurts, but I can't look away from her immaculate radiance, beauty burning, imprinting her visage on my retinas. The rest blurs. That's it. Thank you.
And now, let's wrap up the show with Twilight Sage Moon, Art Therapy, Chris Bodor, Kerouac in Florida, Anna Claire Hodge, Instructions for Being Fabulous, and Nick Dunkenstein, Wish You Were Here.
Art Therapy, Colors, a Kaleidoscope of Movement, Flowing. Clay molding, glaze melting, colors penetrating the white. Cover it, not to hide it, but work with it. The white is set free, and with it, so am I.
Kerouac in Florida, 1957 to 1969. It can be said that Kerouac came to Florida to die, but an Orlando reporter believes otherwise. Kerouac came to live, alive in the Sunshine State sunset, far away from his Massachusetts hometown, always by his mother's side. He was a masterful manuscript maker who committed to be his mother's caregiver. The king of the Beat Generation took a detour and moved to Florida to live in a small two-room College Park cottage with his mother in the other room. He wrote The Dharma Bums while sitting in bathtubs full of ice water, and then died 12 years later hemorrhaging in a St. Petersburg hospital. A shot of Jack across the armadillo landscape, on the roadkill, his spirit alive in the aroma of orange blossoms, in the sound of pounding typewriter keys, in the humidity of last call humiliation, returning each night to the drawing board of a writer's roll-top desk.
Instructions for Being Fabulous. Dubai. Let the crimson swath flight stewards teach you a little Arabic. The plane ceiling will blink with LED stars. When you wake over Egypt, they'll bring newspapers and dish after bone china dish. The gold will not be as cheap as you'd heard, so let the bangles that teem the windows stay where they are. Haggle for brass lamps and ceramic camels that will disappoint your mother. No one will know why you're there. When they ask, order another drink, or gasp at the throaty call to prayer. When a man guesses you're a Russian hooker, don't correct him. The spicemonger will lift his hands to your face until you've guessed what each fragrant barrel holds. Photograph a fist of saffron. the fiery tendrils caged in a jar. Here, no one knows that for a year you slept through the daylight, took pills, wept until the vomit came. Stare from the top of the world's tallest building. Watch its tiered shadow swallow a water park, rug market, islands in the shape of the world.
This is called Wish You Were Here. She called to me, almost grown, her hair long, brown, and curly, weeping angrily under the shade of a hat. Maturity to her was all black clothes and sitting at a table by herself. She wanted me to know she's happier now, but scared. Scared for me, for leaving behind a nightmare, letting me to be eaten alive. I would tell her it's not her fault. This is the nature of the beast. But the beast followed her all the way home, across several states, chipping away at her. She calls my name in her dreams, echoes of her thanking me for every drop of blood, and sending me star-sprinkled wants of, "Wish you were here."
My great-grandmother died almost 20 years before I was born, hit by a train near Branford, Florida. A very Southern Gothic way to go. I grew up with her stories. Pinches of snuff filled her mouth. Pinches left bruises on your arm. She was a witch. The black snakes crawled as she whistled. There were nail-covered photos on the side of her barn. Songs to the cypress trees. Her daughter shared these things, all told with affection, enthusiasm, awe. There is a life after life for those who are a good story. I'd like to thank you all for joining me here today with good words to start the week. If you'd like to hear your own poetry, prose, spoken word here, get in touch at ruralgloom.com. That's ruralgloom.com. If you'd like to support poetry, spoken word, story here on WGOT, just head to wgot.org and donate. Thank you.